seeking the Lord's help, will you turn again in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 19. I'd like for us to focus our attention upon the final part of that chapter. We can read again verse 38, John chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And I want for us to consider something that we're shown here about Joseph of Arimathea. This man was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was, we're told, an honourable counsellor. And also we're told that he was waiting for the kingdom of God. The first thing that's emphasised is that Joseph of Arimathea was a man who was in fear. He was a significant man. He was a man of prominence and of position. He had a name. And he would be recognised. People would know who he was. And no doubt people would be intimidated by him, deferential toward him, perhaps fearful of him. But this man, Joseph, he was full of fear. And his fear was of the Jews. Why did he fear the Jews? Well, he feared the Jews because the Jews had agreed that if any confessed that Jesus was the Christ, that person was to be put out of the synagogue. We read that in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 42. He would be excommunicated if he was to identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so he was in fear. Salvation is of the Jews. And to be cast out of the synagogue, to be debarred from the temple, to be ostracized, to be isolated, to be mocked, the humiliation. This is a man who had something to lose. He had a reputation. He had the esteem of the people. He was someone significant. We can understand that he would fear the laughter and the mockery. But perhaps he might also fear the hard questions. You know these questions when people say to you, if there is a God, why does this happen? The questions that would come, well, if this indeed is the Messiah, where is his glory? This man who is a poor man, this man who has come from nowhere, this man who is going to be condemned, this man who is going to be destroyed. He feared these questions and he had no answer. Or maybe he feared he had no answer, could find no answer. Perhaps too the fear of the implication for his family that they too would suffer the humiliation to be ostracized, to be left behind. But perhaps also his fear was simply a fear. Because fear is not always rational, is it? You yourselves know that. Because we all at different times experience something of the fear of man. And it's not something you can always put your finger on. But rather, it is an overwhelming feeling. There is an experience and you're intimidated. And you can't explain it, but it's there. And it can paralyze. And it can cause the Lord's people to withdraw and to hide. This man, he was a disciple of Jesus, but for fear of the Jews, he was a secret disciple. He did not confess him. We're told by Luke that Joseph had not consented in the council to the condemnation of Christ, to his rejection and appointment to death. But yet we're told by Mark that the whole council condemned him. And so if we consider these two facts together, we realize that Joseph was not present at the council when Jesus was condemned. He was a disciple, but for fear of the Jews, and with an inability, a felt inability to stand up and to identify with them and to speak out, Joseph withdrew. He did not go with the flow, but he had no courage to stand up and to speak out. Perhaps he had seen how others were treated. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus, who first came to the Lord by night. Why by night? Because of fear. Nicodemus, who came first by night. Later on, Nicodemus had asked a question. When they were willing to condemn the Lord, Nicodemus said, "Is it right that we condemn a man?" And they said, "Are you from Galilee?" And they pointed the finger, and they heaped scorn upon him. And perhaps Joseph feared that. Joseph, a secret disciple, but a man full of fear. But we don't want to speak simply about Joseph. It's not true that that would apply to you. Different times, that you are affected by fear. Fear of man, which we're told is a snare and which holds us trapped, holds us back, prevents. Why is it that you haven't spoken out? Why is it that you haven't stood up? Why is it that you've tried to avoid? Why is it that the light, the gospel, does not shine forth brightly? Is it not because the Lord's people are hidden away? There's a man with fear. But we're told that also he had faith. It's the second thing. Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus. He had faith. He believed. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not clear what he understood, how much he understood, how much he believed. Mark tells us that he was waiting for the kingdom, and clearly he recognizes that the Lord is the King. But we're not told that he was waiting at the tomb on the third day. He was not anticipating the resurrection. He had an imperfect understanding. But then, isn't that true for all who believe? We have an imperfect understanding. We have the privilege and the blessing that Joseph did not have of a complete revelation. We have more light. We have more advantage. But yet, with all the advantage and the blessing we have, is it not true that we have an imperfect grasp, an imperfect understanding? But yet, for all his imperfect understanding, we see that this man, his faith is expressed by his love and by his devotion. Because he came and he identified with and sought the body of Jesus. He was not ashamed of the humiliation of his death, of his broken body, but rather he recognized that there was something precious. There was and there remains something precious about the body of the Lord Jesus. Joseph had not been present at the council meeting, but yet he was clearly present in Jerusalem and present at the death of our Lord. Because Mark tells us that it was Joseph's going to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus that told Pilate that Jesus was already dead. And Pilate marveled. And he sent a soldier to go and see if it was so. Pilate, we're told, went boldly. But not Pilate. Joseph, rather, went boldly to Pilate. Mark emphasizes that, and the word boldly there means having taken courage. Here is a man, and he has been full of fear. And his fear has held him back. His fear has prevented him. But as he is confronted with the death of his Lord, his faith finds expression, and he takes courage, and he goes boldly. Now you have to remember that the death of the Lord Jesus was not a triumph. For Pilate, it was a humiliation. For the Jews, it was a humiliation. Pilate used, because Pilate was manipulated into condemning this man who he saw to be innocent, used the opportunity to mock the Jews by putting this plaque above his head which said the King of the Jews. So the Jews are angry. But Pilate is angry. And Pilate is humiliated. But Joseph is not ashamed to go before Pilate and to plead the body of Jesus. Faith finds expression. Not always where it should or how it should. But faith finds expression. Remember Moses when he was born, that so that he wouldn't be taken and destroyed, his parents hid him at home, but they only could hide him at home for a short time. Why was that? It's because a child cannot remain hidden, because children make their presence known. And it's the same with faith. The presence of faith, it will be known, it will be expressed, it will be felt. And Joseph is not prevented here. He's not prevented by the disciples' absence. He's not prevented by the failure of others to identify with the crucified Lord. He does not find any excuses in this. But rather, there is a determination no longer to deny his Savior. Because of fear, he has denied him. But he will no longer deny him. Rather, he will identify with him. Perhaps Joseph is saying to himself, had I been at the council, had I spoken up, had I expressed what I know to be true, perhaps they would not have condemned him. Perhaps they too would have seen. Perhaps they too would have feared. Perhaps they too would have worshipped. We understand the sovereign purpose of God. But we can understand that he would be thinking in this way, and he's confronted with the broken body of Jesus upon the cross, and he says, no more. No more fear. No more denial. He does not flounder in self-pity. You know that self-pity when you have done wrong and you have sinned. But rather in going confessing sin and dealing with sin, you just simply feel miserable in your sin. And sometimes we're tempted, aren't we, to rationalize and to say, well, if I feel miserable for long enough, that will somehow atone for my sin. Here is a man, and in fear, he stood by. In fear, he kept quiet. In fear, he failed. But now, his faith is expressed by his standing up and his pleading for the body of Jesus. No doubt he sees and feels his shame, but he sees his Saviour, and so he acts. He had fear, but he also had faith. And it's interesting that we're told that he was a disciple of Jesus secretly for fear of the Jews. It wasn't that he was uncertain. He knew what he knew. He knew who he believed. He understood and could see who Jesus was. It wasn't an uncertainty. And had you said, Joseph, do you believe? It would have been a lie for him to say, well, I don't know. I'm not clear. He knew he believed. It was fear that kept him back. It would be a lie to pretend that it wasn't fear, but it was instead a lack of clarity or a lack of assurance. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. Joseph was able to say, I love the Lord. It appeared otherwise. Nobody knew he loved the Lord because he had been quiet and because he had been hidden away. But now his faith is expressed. He had fear, but he also had faith. But if you read into verse 39, I want you to see that he also had a friend. Because in verse 39 we're told, and there came also Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea, in all his fear, he comes to Pilate. And as he goes to take the body of Jesus, Nicodemus goes with him. There is, in a sense, the loneliness of his walk to Pilate. And yet the Lord graciously gives him a friend to accompany him, a friend to encourage him, a friend to help him. And here is another man who has been intimidated, another man who has compromised, but a man who now, when confronted with the death of his Lord, takes courage and identifies and reveals his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is the woman also who went to the grave, but particularly there is Nicodemus, a friend. Did Joseph's going encourage Nicodemus? Did Nicodemus' coming to encourage Joseph? Is it not the case that probably encouraged one another as they went and as they took and tenderly bound the body of the Lord and placed him in that grave? He had fear, he had faith, but yet he had a friend that the Lord graciously gave to him. And is it not then the case that Joseph of Arimathea, this man that he had more than one friend, but here is a man and he now professing Christ, now standing boldly and identifying with Christ, would be embraced in the fellowship of the believers, the disciples who gathered after the death of our Lord, not expecting his resurrection, not remembering, not understanding. They too full of fear. Maybe tonight you have fear. Maybe tonight you struggle to express your faith in Jesus Christ. You look back upon your life and you can see where you've woefully failed to express your faith and your love. And yet the Lord graciously, in a congregation here, provides you with friends. Friends who long to share with you, to encourage you. For you to encourage them and them to encourage you. And together to press on and to seek after the Lord Jesus. Do you ever think about that? That there are others who long to help you. This man had fear. He had faith. But he had a friend. But isn't the greatest friend that he had the Lord Jesus himself, the one who was dead but yet who lives? Though his broken body was taken from the cross, yet even then he lived. Didn't he say to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? Not dead, but alive. But then the resurrection, that broken body rising from the grave. Joseph had a friend. And isn't that what you have, Christian friend? You have a friend. Jesus Christ is your friend. A gracious friend. And you have failed him. And you have failed. And yet he is a faithful friend. A faithful friend who does not cut you off because of past failure. But a faithful friend who calls you to greater intimacy. To come and to acknowledge your faith. To come and to demonstrate your love. And to come and to fellowship not just with his people, but with him himself. It is so wrong to allow yesterday's failure to define today and to prevent tomorrow. All our yesterdays were failures. But we are to come and to confess that before him, to acknowledge our sin and to depart from sin. To turn from sin and to obey him. What would have been the effect of Joseph's silence? What would have been the effect of Joseph remaining a secret believer? What would it have meant? What would it have meant for him? What would it have meant for Nicodemus? What would it meant for the church? It did not happen. But it would have been a disaster. Fear, but faith and a gracious friend. Let us remember and recognize our gracious friend tonight. Let us come, confess our sin to him, to depart from iniquity and live for his glory. Amen. Let's pray.